Welcome to the Torah Sisters Podcast. I'm Amy K. Gunther, and I love Yeshua, and I keep the Torah. I created Torah Sisters to help other like-minded women have a place to connect, grow, and be encouraged. Go to TorahSisters.com and sign up to get my free emails. And while you're there, also visit the store to subscribe to Torah Sisters Magazine. You can also get free stuff and lots more. I hope that you feel at home here. Hi, sisters. It's Amy Kay. Welcome back to the podcast. In this episode, I'm going to talk about what is sometimes a forgotten Passover command, and that is forgiveness. Maybe the simplest, hardest thing some of us will ever do. But first, don't forget that the current issue of Torah Sisters Magazine is all about Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And it's okay with me if you subscribe, get the current issue, and then cancel your subscription. I just really want as many of you to have it as possible before Passover, because it will greatly help you prepare your home and your heart for the feast. I also still have some of last year's Passover issue that are in stock, and I can mail to you until they're gone, and then I will never print them again. So I highly recommend that you purchase the current issue and last year's Passover issue, because then you're going to have a plethora of ideas and encouragement and beautiful pictures of people's Passover tables. So I also have a free Passover kit download that will teach you everything so that you can do a gospel Yeshua-centered Passover. All of that is at store.torahsisters.com. All right, let's get into this. Sisters, I'm going to make a case that the inward act of forgiveness is just as important, maybe more important Passover command than the outward acts. And we don't talk about it a lot in our community. And that's not wrong. I think we all know this. I'm not saying anything new or radical. We all just know this. For a lot of us, we grew up with this concept of, well, then coming to the communion, the once a month communion with a clean heart. But we're going to do a deeper dive. And I'm going to show you from Torah too, of course, that it is a requirement. Now, the reason we don't talk about it a lot is because we really are excited about the outward acts. And not that they're the only, we don't think that we're saved by doing outward things. And we don't think that they're the only important thing. We all know a circumcised heart is more what the Father desires. But those outward acts of obedience are exciting to us because they are new to us. I was not raised doing Passover. This is still a new thing for me. And so I like to talk, and I have lots of videos talking about the outward acts of Passover. What do you eat? What are bitter herbs? What do you say at your Passover? When is Passover? These are outward things. But this podcast, we're going to talk about the forgiveness command. And I do think it's a command for Passover that when you come to that table, you cannot be holding a grudge against a brother or a sister. At the end of this podcast, I will give you a list of questions to ask yourself between you and the Father, because right away you might be thinking, oh, I'll listen to this podcast, but it doesn't really apply to me. But maybe this list of questions that will help us find places where we have not forgiven might be helpful to us. Sometimes we might not be aware of it, or we think it's justified, and we just don't understand that we are indeed holding a grudge. So I have a list of questions at the end of the podcast. So sisters, let's just start with Luke 23:34. And Yeshua said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm going to go through a lot of scriptures in this. And in a sense, I'm kind of going to skip all over the place, because to me, it's just one great big package. It's hard to put them in an order. There's no order of importance. They're all important. But I want to start with this one. Yeshua came to this earth to demonstrate Torah, to show us how to keep Torah, and to teach us how to love one another. His last act of Torah, his last act of righteousness on this earth, well before his resurrection, was before he died, was to forgive, was forgiveness towards those who were murdering and torturing him at that very moment. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. And this should weigh very heavy on us as an example. As we approach the Passover meal, which is all about Yeshua's death and suffering, we cannot forget that his last thing was to forgive the people standing right there. I am starting to also call Passover a forgiveness meal. It's a covenant forgiveness meal. There would be no covenant. We cannot be in covenant. We cannot approach a holy God without the forgiveness of sins that comes through the blood of Yeshua. It is a forgiveness meal. And I'm going to make a case. I'm going to show you a lot of scriptures that we cannot approach a forgiveness meal and say, thank you, Yeshua, for forgiving me. Thank you, Father, for the forgiveness you give me, while in our hearts, we are not forgiving someone else. I'm going to make a case for that. It is wrong. We are breaking commands. And in fact, the punishment for that is quite severe. So let's start. Let's just go through this. I'll go fast. I'm not going to say everything about forgiveness. It would be a huge study, and also test everything I say. I'm going to give you interpretations of scripture, but you should go read whole chapters. I read whole chapters. I'm going to read verses, but I didn't pluck them. I read the whole chapter to make sure I'm giving you a good interpretation, and you should do the same too. Numbers chapter 13 and 14. If anyone who is clean and is not on a journey fails to keep the Passover, Numbers 9, 13, that person shall be cut off from his people because he did not bring the Lord's offering at its appointed time. That man shall bear his sin. So here we see someone who has a high hand against the Father, Yehovah, someone who says, Passover is not for me. I'm not doing that junk. I'm not doing that. They will suffer the consequence of being cut off from his people. And when you look at Torah, that's the most severe consequence that there is. And then in verse 14, he goes on, and if a stranger sojourns among you and would keep the Passover to Yehovah according to the statute of the Passover and according to its rule, he shall do it. So it's not just doing Passover, but it's doing as much of the rule, as much of the ordinances of Passover as we can. And let's just establish right now, I know we're not fully doing Passover. We're practicing, we're observing. There's no temple. Nobody is sacrificing a lamb to Yehovah right now. We can't do that because we can't do it the prescribed way. But we are accountable to do as much of the Torah as we can. And so we see here that having a rebellious spirit against any part of doing Passover is a punishment of being cut off from his people. And so as we again approach this, looking at the command of forgiveness, I just want us to see how very, very important that is. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. These are very, very familiar passages. Paul says, whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, without taking a hard look at himself, those people eat and drink judgment on themselves. And that is why many of you are sick and weak and maybe even have died. Not everyone is sick and dying because they're lacking forgiveness or not analyzing their hearts. But Paul says in this case, that's why some of them are. Look at the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 11. The context is really interesting here because we read this passage a lot, or you know, these couple verses, but it's because he says, therefore. Well, what therefore, for their what? So in the earlier verses, he's rebuking the Corinthians because they're basically being jerks to each other. Very unloving behavior. And he says, all right, so now you're going to come to a forgiveness meal, but you're being jerks to each other. That's why some of you are messed up. Matthew 5, chapter 20, verses 21 to 24. This is Yeshua talking, of course, Sermon on the Mount, where he explains a lot about the Torah and the love part of it. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Is it okay, sisters, if we say that being angry is just about synonymous with withholding forgiveness? So if you're withholding forgiveness, if you're angry with your brother, you're liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Verse 23, Matthew 5. So if you are offering your gift, Matthew 5, 23, sisters, is really, really important. If you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there and go. First, be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. It could not be any clearer. This is Yeshua, the Word made flesh, the walking, talking Torah, saying, when you go to the temple with your offering to Yehovah, you're walking in this outward act of obedience, but you have a heart issue with someone else, your offering is not needed. Don't do that. It's more important first that you go and reconcile to your brother or sister. Now, sisters, I will say that reconciliation is not always fully possible, is it? And that's a whole nother study, but you can't always make everything okay between you and someone else because that's kind of a two-way street. But you are absolutely obligated to do so as much as you are able to do in order to be reconciled to someone. And so Passover is a meal that would have required someone to represent you and go to the temple with an offering. But then if you're first lacking forgiveness, holding a grudge, you need to fix that first before someone goes to the temple on your behalf. Does that make sense? This is a very clear verse where it is a required part of Passover. It's not optional. And if you don't offer forgiveness towards people in your life before that covenant meal and you drink that cup and you eat that bread, you're bringing judgment on your head. You're doing Passover wrong. And that is not, it doesn't say that for the other outward acts. So this forgiveness thing is really important. Colossians 3 verses 12 to 14. I'm going to skip to verse 13. If anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Paul makes it very clear, because we are forgiven, we must offer forgiveness. You cannot come to a forgiveness meal lacking forgiveness towards others. Matthew 26, 26 to 29. Now, as they were eating, Yeshua took the bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body. And he took a cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them saying, drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. It's a forgiveness meal. You cannot come to a forgiveness meal thankful for the forgiveness and asking for forgiveness for yourself, but then being so prideful and arrogant that you're not willing to give it to someone else. It cannot be done. And if you attempt it, you're going to bring judgment on your head. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Yeshua again speaking, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I guess, you know, maybe you could physically do a Passover. You could go to your fellowship's Passover. You could have Passover with your husband and your children, and you could drink the cup and eat the bread, all the while holding a grudge against someone. But you know what? Those outward acts aren't going to save you anyway. The Father says, if you're holding a grudge, which is lack of forgiveness, you're not getting that forgiveness. You're drinking that cup and you're eating that bread at Passover and you're reading the Haggadah and you think that you're in covenant. Yeshua right here again says you're actually not in covenant. There's no forgiveness for you because you're holding a grudge. Do you see how important this forgiveness is? Mark 11, verses 20 to 25. I'm going to skip to verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone so that your Father who is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. See, we're not taking things out of context. Yeshua says it more than once. If you don't forgive others, you're not in covenant. I don't know what else that means. There's no forgiveness for you from Yeshua, from God. I guess that means you're out of covenant. So why do a covenant meal when you have eliminated yourself from the covenant by lack of forgiveness? Acts chapter 7, Stephen, again, following the example of Yeshua, right before his torturous murder, Yehovah, do not hold this sin against them. Sisters, well, let's look at Matthew 18, 21 and 22 too. Yeshua says, you know, Peter says, how many times do I have to forgive people? Because Peter knew this is the biggie. This is hard. And Yeshua says to him, I did not say to you seven times, but 77 times, which is kind of Bible language for infinitely. You have to forgive infinitely. There's not a max. There's not like, well, this sin is so bad, you don't have to forgive it. You forgive all trespasses against you. Let's even look at the Torah. See, this is not a new thing. It's just people wonder, well, why does this talked about in the New Testament so much, but not the Old Testament? Because the love had grown cold. By the time Yeshua came, people were not doing the love part of the Torah as well, but love was always part of the Torah. And I believe that when the Torah was given and the people at the bottom of Mount Sinai said, yes, we will do everything you're saying, they were doing it with love. They weren't robots just obeying outward commands. They were doing the love part. So let's look at Leviticus 18, 17 and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. Verse 18, you shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yehovah. I mean, this sounds just like Paul. It sounds just like the New Testament. This forgiveness, this love was always part of the Torah. John 13, verses 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Doing Passover, while it is a covenant meal, and we could say it's a sign of the covenant, keeping Sabbath, we could say, is a sign of the covenant. But if you're a jerk to people and people know that you're someone who holds grudges and you're unforgiving, they don't really see you as a loving disciple of Yeshua. They see you as a hypocrite and a Pharisee. So the outward acts are not more important than the inward. So now let's go back and let's look at this list I made. And it's just a starter list. I'm sure there's more of questions to ask yourselves and questions I'm asking myself to determine if we're lacking forgiveness. You know, as we look at getting the leaven out, we approach Passover and we look at getting the leaven out, the false teachings. And a lot of us do look at getting sin out of our lives. Well, one of those sins, and maybe the biggest sin, is lack of forgiveness. So as we look at ourselves for lack of forgiveness, these are some questions that might help us find places, because sometimes I think we can hold grudges, which to me is the same thing of lack of forgiveness. And it might be a big offense that someone did to us. It might be a small offense. 70 times 7. It doesn't matter if it's a big offense or a smaller offense. Our job is to forgive all of it. And I think it's easy, maybe especially with some of the small offenses where we're still holding a grudge and we kind of don't notice it. So I made this list to help us find those things before we approach the Passover table. So questions to ask yourself to tell if you're holding a grudge. Here's a big one. Can you attend an event or a fellowship with that person who offended you? I have seen this online where people say they won't go to this fellowship because someone there offended them, hurt their feelings, wronged them. Now, maybe there are some wrongs that are so huge that you could not attend an event with people. I do acknowledge that there are some offenses that are so bad, but I also know that our fleshly, we often make mountains out of molehills. And if you can list off three fellowships or even just one, if you can't go to a fellowship because there's a family there that hurt your feelings at one point, you're holding a grudge. Even if it was the leader of the fellowship, you can't go to that fellowship because that leader hurt your feelings once, you're holding a grudge. Now, again, I know there's going to be a lot of yeah, buts. Yeah, but the offense was really, 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 really bad. Okay. You know, I don't know what that is. That's a whole different discussion. But again, if you're trying to justify your grudge holding, I don't need to get involved in that. Don't tell me about it in the comments. You don't need to even make that stuff public. That's between you and God and that other person. I'm just trying to encourage us to really analyze and to find the clues of where we're withholding forgiveness. And if you can't attend a fellowship or an event, you can't even be around someone who hurt you once, you might be still holding a grudge. And that is sinful. It is a sin to do that. And again, if it's a safety thing, I get that. Maybe for safety reasons, you can't be around. But being around, I keep saying, attend an event. Be around them. I'm not saying you have to be buddy-buddy best friends with them and invite them into your home after Shabbat. But if you can't even raise your hands and worship the Almighty God while you're singing, standing next to someone who hurt you, you have the problem. That person does not, and forgiveness does not mean that that person has to come to you and say they were wrong. Forgiveness is not dependent on them admitting their part. Forgiveness is all you. It's all you. And if you cannot turn off your hurt and turn off your grudge holding long enough to worship the one who made both of you at the same time next to each other, you're the one with the problem. And that's what fellowship is. It's worshiping together. It's learning together. And it's praying for each other. These are things that happen in our Shabbat fellowships. You can do that with someone who has wronged you and maybe never even admitted it. Maybe they don't see it like that. Maybe a whole bunch of things. But it doesn't matter what they did. All we're talking about here is you. And so that's a clue that you're holding a grudge and you need to let that go. You need to forgive that person before you approach the Passover table. And then your life is easier because now you can attend those events. So it's a win-win for everyone. Here's another question to ask yourself. Are you upset with leadership for not taking your side? I see this online sometimes. Whatever the dispute was, again, I don't care. Do not tell me about disputes in the comments. I will delete all of those. They're none of my business. Whatever the dispute was, whatever the hurt was, whatever the offense was, are you upset with other people, leadership or other congregants, for either not taking your side or not even listening to your side? These are signs that you're holding a grudge when these things bother you. Now, I'm not saying that forgiveness means that it's okay what they did. Maybe leadership should be listening to you. I don't know. But there's a lot of reasons why they might not, and you need to forgive them even if you don't agree with them. Even if they did wrong, forgiveness is not dependent on whether you're right or wrong. Forgiveness is forgiveness. It's because the Father forgave you. That's why you give forgiveness. You don't give forgiveness because someone repented or because someone you realize that they were right or whatever. Forgiveness is given to people who are wrong, like you. So that's something to ask yourself. Are you angry or bitter or upset that people don't listen to your side or haven't taken your side? If that's you, you should not be doing Passover this year. Do you look for opportunities to tell others about the offense? Are you quick to see things in conversation? Are you sitting around with people talking or having an online conversation? See, I see this in comments sometimes in different Facebook places. People are talking about one thing and someone jumps onto it and it's even loosely related. It's not really even related to the topic. And they start telling the story of how someone hurt them. I think you're struggling with forgiveness if that's what you're doing. If you are eager to find opportunities to tell people about how someone hurt you or someone wronged you, you are lacking forgiveness. Not to mention you're gossiping. And I've been thinking today, if I say something, we all struggle with gossip, sisters. I struggle with gossip sometimes. And all right, I'll tell you, those of you who are friends with me in real life, if you hear me start to gripe about someone who has hurt me or and it's gossipy, there are times where we can talk about our hurts. I think elders of congregations have to talk about offenses. And I have a couple of best friends that I will consult, but it's with the purpose of seeking counsel. I hope, I pray. Those cases, yes, it's appropriate to discuss offenses when you're there to seek counsel and get support and encouragement. But if you're, again, looking for all kinds of opportunities to just air someone else's dirty laundry and just throw someone under the bus, you're probably lacking forgiveness. And so, sisters, if you think I'm doing that, you know what a good thing to say to me would be that will shut me right up and make me check my heart would be, oh, Amy, I hope that you are soon able to forgive that person. Zinger. And it's true. If I am speaking ill of someone and it's really not necessary at that moment, it's probably because I'm struggling with forgiveness, right? And I'm taking it to the next level of gossiping. Gossip is not just when something is untrue. Gossip is saying things that people don't need to know. And so if I'm explaining a hurt, someone hurt me somehow, but it really has nothing to do with the topic. It has nothing to do with the people who are going to hear me say it. I am gossiping. And it's just evidence that I'm lacking forgiveness. And so, sisters, yeah, if you hear me gossip about a hurt, you may say to me, oh, Amy, I pray that you're able to forgive that person. And mean it. Like, do pray for me that I will get over. And I don't have to get over the hurt. I have to just forgive. I take that back. You don't have to be done hurting to forgive. Something might hurt for the rest of your life, but you still have to forgive them, or you better not do Passover. In which case you're missing a covenant meal, and that's a big problem. So are you looking for opportunities to tell people about the offense or about the hurt, whether it's small or big? If people don't need to know about it, if they're not your husband, if they're not those two or three best friends, you're gossiping and you're probably lacking forgiveness. And I hope that you're soon able to forgive. All right. Here's another question to ask yourself to look for evidence in your life of lack of forgiveness. Are you posting passive aggressive things on Facebook? Are you posting those things? Probably. I mean, why else would you do it? You're hoping that people will private message you or ask you in the comments, oh, what happened? And then again, you have an opportunity to tell the story of how someone hurt you. I have seen people start whole entire websites telling the story about how someone hurt them. I don't think that's right. And sometimes people will say, well, it's my job. I have to expose that person. Actually, no, you don't. Well, everybody should know what they did. They're not the good person that they pretend to be, and everybody should know. So I'm going to tell them. No, you don't have to tell them. You don't. The exception for that might be things like personal safety. You know, if someone's a pedophile or hurting women or something, adultery, you should expose those kinds of things. But other grievances, you do not need to tell everyone. I have seen it time and time again. The Father will expose these things in His time to the right people. Not all things need to be made public. People can be repentant without being publicly repentant, because some stuff is just not everybody's business. And the people, even who are in leadership positions or on YouTube or whatever it is, even you as a parent, the shepherd, the teacher, the leader of your family, are you perfect? Do you have to confess every sin to your whole family? I'm not sure that you do. You should be very vulnerable, and your family knows you very well, so you have to confess most of them, but some things are just between you and your husband and God. You do not have to expose. So, you know, do I have to expose all of your sin? You're a shepherd and a teacher too. The scripture is full of promises from the Father that He will get vengeance. I did another podcast on forgiveness, which goes into this more. You do not have to expose it. And if you really feel like it's your job to expose it, I think you might just be lacking forgiveness, because you're cherry plucking verses and it's not scriptural to go on the offensive and be aggressive or even passive aggressive, trying to expose someone else's sin. That's not biblical. You're lacking forgiveness and you should not do Passover. And again, I'm not going to judge, don't email me and ask me, Amy, I'm struggling with this. Should I do Passover? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not your counselor. I don't know you in person. I might have a discussion like that with a close friend who I know, but talk to your husband and talk to God about it. But if you find your, if by a clue that you're lacking forgiveness is if you find yourself on Facebook leaving passive aggressive comments, posts, or memes. You know, are you on Facebook all the time talking about narcissism? I tell you what, as after what I went through, I can spot a bitter ex-wife. And you may have been wronged, you may have been deeply hurt, but you don't have to tell the whole world about it all the time. Forgive him and go do your kingdom work. That's plenty to keep you busy. And I can, one of the signs of a bitter, by bitter, I mean lacking forgiveness, holding a grudge, is when an ex-wife starts posting all kinds of stuff on Facebook about narcissism. It's a passive-aggressive way of letting everybody know. Now, again, some things need to be exposed, but not rubbed in the dirt over and over and over and over and over again. Just forgive, stop holding a grudge, and some things, again, like, I get it. You have to do it over and over. And one of the things that's made me think about this is I have found myself lately talking about my hurt more often. And when I find myself talking about it more, that's evidence to me I'm struggling with forgiveness again. Even though I've already forgiven that person, sometimes, especially before Passover, Satan brings up these offenses and to cause strife and to distract us. And so that's partly why I'm making this podcast, is I have been sensing myself. Thankfully, I've had the self-control not to talk about it on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or whatever. But when I feel offenses, feel the need to talk about it creeping up, I need to check my own heart. And another evidence is, do you think about the offense a lot? Now, some offenses are so big, they will just always be a part of us. But that doesn't mean we have to dwell on it. And then when you think about it, what emotions are stirred up? Are you angry? Are you bitter? Do you want revenge? Do you want to help the Father out in hurrying up that revenge? Are you upset with the creator of the universe that he's not punishing that person when you think he should punish that person? Does that person seem to be getting away with it? Does it make you mad that everyone else likes that person who hurt you? These are all evidences that you are lacking forgiveness. Now, maybe you can never be best friends with that person. Maybe you can never reconcile with that person, but that doesn't mean that you should tell God that he needs to punish that person, that he needs to expose that person, that no one else can be friends with that person. You need to forgive. So sisters, that is the list, and it's a doozy. I know it's a doozy, but really analyze our hearts. There are hard times coming. I don't know how many Passovers we have left until, you know, we see Yeshua. Oh, I want to see him. But during these last few Passovers, maybe that we have left, we need to be doing it right. Yeshua said, this is how they'll know you're my disciples, by you loving one another. And there was a, Steve Mutria was on the Life podcast. I'll put a link below. And he said something that I believe as well, and a lot of us do, is that the test right now is not if we're doing all the outward things correctly. The test right now is, are we loving one another? So you just can't do Passover if you're lacking forgiveness towards someone. The gospel, the forgiveness, the redemption is at the core of the whole Bible story. God's love for Israel, him buying us back so that he can dwell with us again one day like he did in the garden until we screwed it up. And because he's willing to forgive our screw ups, because he's willing to forgive and bury all of our sin, and he made atonement for it once and for all, how dare we hold grudges against one another? And I'm not saying it's easy. It is simple, but it's not easy. But that is what the Holy Spirit is for. That is why you have the whole Word of God. And this might be the most important thing that you do this Passover is, you know, forget the decorations, forget the fancy food. Maybe you don't have time because you're going to do a simple Passover because you're spending time in the Word and in prayer, forgiving. So I'll leave it at that. I love you, sisters. I will see you in the next podcast. Bye.